Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We turn our attention to the qualifications that Scripture has noted for those who serve in the eldership. Not just anybody can be an elder and be pleasing in the sight of God. These qualifications are found in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1. Whether the church progresses the way the Lord wants depends largely on the leadership offered to it by the eldership. Nothing is worse than having the wrong man in the right place. A man who is in the position with the authority of an elder who does not grasp his work, or who will not do his work, or does it poorly, is a real hindrance to the church. But when qualified men are in those positions and they retain the qualities necessary to do the task, then the members of that congregation are among the most fortunate people on earth. Indeed, it is better to have no elders at all than to have men serving as elders who are not qualified. This is not to dismiss the necessity of elders. It is to stress the importance of developing men who do have the qualities so the church can be as it ought to be. In a general statement, let us emphasize that the qualifications for elders are high, but they can be met. God would not have required them if they were impossible to attain. Their qualities are such that have to be developed over a long period of time. This is why efforts should be made early in the lives of young men to start the process that produces a good elder. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he shall have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now I read to you from Titus chapter 1. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for if a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, and that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Now, we can discuss the qualifications given in these two passages together, for there is much overlapping. Blameless means to be without reproach. It does not require perfection, which is beyond human ability anyway. But he must be a person known for his integrity, his honesty, and his purity of life. He is to be the husband of one wife. He must respect God's marriage laws for himself. He cannot be a bachelor or a bigamist, but a married man. He is not to have more than one wife at a time. One whose wife has died and he is remarried has still met the requirement in this matter. One who is an elder and his wife dies has gleaned the qualification needed to serve as an elder, but the wisdom of continuing in that capacity might provoke some problems for the church. He is to be temperate. A man who exercises self-control, able to restrain his appetites, his temper, his passions, not soon angered, but long-suffering. He is to have proven his ability to rear his children to be Christians. If he cannot rule his own house, how can he be expected to take care of the church? The term children is a generic term, And a man with one child who is a Christian is qualified in this particular matter. However, none would question that a man with more than one child, all of whom are accountable before God being Christians, does have an added ability to serve. To be sober-minded means a person of mature judgment. He is one of dignity and discretion. He does not outwardly display piousness, as if he were holier than others, but at the same time he's not a flighty person, flippant and boisterous, but well-behaved and considerate. He's someone to be admired. He is to be orderly, well-mannered, never rude, have some system as to how he goes about doing things. The haphazard hit-or-miss approach to matters is not beneficial to the conduct of the affairs of the church. One who conducts affairs in this manner will likely produce a real problem for the congregation rather than real leadership. He must be given to hospitality. This will determine to a great extent the quality of his home and his wife, his attitude toward others, and his willingness to reach others. Being apt to teach means to have the knowledge and the ability to teach the Word of God to others, publicly and privately. He must be able and willing and ready to this work. He cannot be a broiler, a striker, argumentative and harsh, overly stern or bitter, not a wrangler about matters, but one who is easily approached and gentle and sound and certain. He is not out looking for a fight over something, but seeking spiritual peace with God and his brethren on the basis of truth. He is not to be contentious, that is, insistent that everything must go his own way. He cannot be self-willed, but willing to cooperate with the other elders and the congregation. Keep in mind that matters which he must oversee are matters of human opinion and judgment, wherein there is room for compromise. He is to be no lover of money. Sometimes elders who have the oversight of the finances of the church like every other affair of the church, they have their own attitude toward the treasury as if the money was their own money. Some prefer to save money more than souls. They are not to be covetous about their own money, nor the money over which they serve as stewards for the entire congregation. A novice should not be made an elder. One who is young in the faith, young in years, inexperienced, unseasoned, is not yet ready for the awesome work of an elder. A babe in Christ must be given time to grow and to learn and to know what it's all about before given the responsibility of leadership in the church. He must prove himself. He is to be just and holy and sound in the faith, a man of relative age that has reared a family correctly. He is not to be a drinker of strong drink, nor a double-tongued and slanderous gossiping type of person. An elder whose tongue is not under control will destroy an otherwise good congregation. As it can be expected, these qualifications are high. A man, and he must be a male, for there's no allowance for women in the leadership of the church, a man can reach these qualifications. Many of them are qualifications of degree. That is, he must have them to such an extent that it is recognizable that he does possess these qualities of character. Some, like being married and having Christian children, are more readily observable and more easily determined. Because the qualities of character are qualities of degree, great caution must be used in making an unknown an elder. Whereas one may come to a congregation having served as an elder in another congregation, the new congregation must allow time and opportunity to determine whether a man really is qualified before he's placed in that capacity. Experience has shown the folly of appointing men whose characters appeared to be as they ought to be, but as one gets to know him better, it is easy to see that he's not fit for the eldership, even though he may be a faithful brother in Christ. A matter of concern to congregations is how to select elders, that is, the process by which a man becomes an elder. Assuming that one has the qualifications, and they are recognizable, what is to be done to place him in that work? Let us emphasize and repeat for emphasis' sake, He must be qualified, and he must be appointed. He cannot function unless it is known that he's in that capacity. There is no specific way of appointing one as an elder revealed to us in Scripture. It would therefore seem to require the exercise of judgment and consideration of all those involved that tends to produce peace. The congregation should be given the opportunity to consider the man because, after all, they're the ones over whom he'll have the oversight and they will be expected to obey him in the eldership. They should have the opportunity to make suggestions and to offer objections. If a congregation already has elders, they should take the lead in the selection of additional men. But if no elders already are in place, brethren should behave as brethren and keep the cause of the church before them. This is not a popularity contest or a political office. It is a work. A time of appointment and the assumption of duties should be specified, and there being no scriptural objections, the qualified man should simply be designated in some reasonable and brotherly fashion that he is an elder. As stated, there is no step-by-step procedure in Scripture for this appointment. But he does not become an elder simply by becoming old or simply because he has proper qualifications. To be respected as an elder and to be obeyed as is required of the congregation, there must be an appointment of some nature. It is easier to get elders appointed than it is to get them removed. Sometimes it becomes necessary to remove a man from that position. Once an elder, always an elder is no more true than once saved, always saved. A man who is an elder can fall. Paul showed in Acts chapter 20 how elders can go astray. When that tragedy strikes, he ought to either remove himself or be assisted out, as oft times happens. The same ones who selected him and appointed him can unselect him, if you please, and unappoint him. When a man becomes self-willed and contentious, or doctrinally unsound and disorderly, intemperate and lacking in a cooperative spirit, maybe slanderous and maybe any such things as that, he's no longer fit for the eldership. If he becomes lord and master over others, he needs to be removed. The congregation has serious and profound duties to those who serve as elders. They are to be treated as brethren, with love and consideration of the golden rule as much as anybody else. They are to be duly regarded in their authority, and esteemed highly, and their faith imitated, and their decisions obeyed. They are to be counted worthy of double honor because of the work that they do. They are to be treated with respect, nor to be rebuked and criticized unnecessarily, and accusations against them rejected until proven. Whereas elders ought to remain open to constructive criticism, and elders who sin must be rebuked, lest sin go unchecked, they must be considered as men of dignity and approached with respect. Sometimes the difficulty members of the church have toward elders stems from the fact that some elders do not present themselves to be respectable. This puts an added burden on the member of the church who wishes to consult with elders about the misdeeds of the elders. The work of the eldership is a great work. It is a heavy task, a powerful opportunity to serve God and brethren, but it is a work that must be desired, not because of the power that it brings, but because of the good that can be done. No elder functions perfectly any more than a Christian lives perfectly. Probably few function at their very best. Even the strongest sometimes show signs of weakness. An elder fails no more miserably than when he compromises the truth, bends and bows to pressures of those in error, and has the attitude that he's a boss and does not guide the ship of faith aright. We should pray for those who serve in this capacity. They shall answer to God for how they labored, for every soul under their charge. Good elders can make our journey easier and can be a great assistance to us in going to heaven. And elders who fall sorely short of the mark can be the undoing of the church. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.